Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our blessed Lord and Savior. Amen. From our Gospel reading, the account of our Lord's visit to the temple when he was 12 years old, we read these words. After his parents had made search for him, they saw him and they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. This is God's word. Please be seated. Well, for my family, our Christmas travels to Pennsylvania totaled about, roughly 1,000 miles or so. And the Lord brought us safely to our destination and back home again. Thanks be to God. And I see all of you are here safe and sound. Wherever you might have gone for Christmas, he brought you back safe and sound. Thanks be to God. So, how many miles did you log, you and your family, this Christmas? On your trip to grandma and grandpa's, or to see cousins or grandkids, or to the ski slopes, or to pick up a kid from college, or wherever else you might have gone. Christmas and traveling go together like congressmen and political junkets. 88 million of us Americans traveled more than 50 miles this Christmas season. Over 4 million people took to the skies. And if you watch the news, pity so many of them who ended up stranded in airports trying to sleep overnight on these airport concourse chairs and getting kinks in their necks. And precisely one traveled by a reindeer-drawn sleigh. I hope he got down your chimney and was good to you. We don't usually think about first century Palestinians as high-mileage holiday travelers, but if you start to think about the scriptures that we've been reading during this Christmas season, including today's, you start to realize, that already at this tender age, our Lord's life has been an amazing series of business trips. His journeys were not for pleasure. It was always about something. It was for the business of his Father. First of all, of course, was his departure from heaven. As I described on Christmas Day, when he stepped down from his throne and he divested himself of the glory and the power and the majesty that are rightly his as the second person of the Trinity, and he became a single cell, a growing baby inside of Mary. Mind-boggling. And then while he was still inside of Mary, there was that bouncing donkey ride from Nazareth to Bethlehem, not at all the luxury ride that the King of Heaven should have the right to expect. And then last Sunday, we saw him traveling to Jerusalem at 40 days of age, identified by Simeon as the glory of Israel and as a light to the Gentiles. And then that was followed, of course, by the return trip back to Bethlehem. And then, of course, we're going to read this story soon, that frantic dash to Egypt to escape the murderous intent of Herod. And then later on, back from Egypt, back to Palestine and to Nazareth. You start to think about it, our Lord was quite the Christmas traveler, wasn't he? And now here we are in today's reading, and he takes yet another exciting trip. This time he's going to Jerusalem with his family at the age of 12, as they customarily did, took some time out of their lives to make that trip down to Jerusalem for the Passover. That annual celebration of God's great deliverance, when he set his people free from Egypt and delivered them by the sign of the Lamb's blood from the angel of death. And like all good Jews, Jesus and his family made this journey whenever they could each year. So they packed their bags, they loaded up the donkey and headed off to Jerusalem. They celebrated God's mighty deliverance and salvation, and then they returned home back to Nazareth. With that little glitch, of course, that our Lord, our preteen Redeemer, stayed behind unbeknownst to his parents. And when they finally caught up to him 3 days later, after you can imagine how panicked they must have been and distressed, not knowing where their son was, but they found him in the temple, and Jesus spoke words to them that indicate his great purpose in all of his travels up to this point, and indeed all of the travels and all of the miles that he would log during his 33 years of life on this earth. He says, and the King James translation says, "Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" Every step of every trek and journey and pilgrimage Jesus made was for business purposes. He voyaged down from heaven. Why? To reconcile us to God the Father and to bring heaven and earth together again, as we read in the epistle reading. He traveled to Bethlehem to be born. Why? To fulfill the prophets, to verify his identity as the Christ. He went to the temple as a baby. Why? To be dedicated to the Father that he would serve. And he goes to Jerusalem. Why? To bring the light of Scripture to darkened minds. It's all business with him. And the end of his Christmas travels are just the beginning of his journey. And yet for all of the miles that Jesus logged, and some people, by the way, estimate that Jesus traveled some 22,000 miles in the journeys that are recorded for us in the gospel readings. And that's to say nothing of all the journeys that aren't recorded for us. 22,000 miles, that's once around the equator. But for all of those miles that he traveled, Jesus never really left his Father's house. And that's the translation we read in this English Standard Version. Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? And as is so often true in the Scriptures, there's more to these words than first meets the eye. It's not just that Jesus loved to be in the temple. He did love that temple so much so that he forgot to go home with his parents. But it's not just that he wanted to stay there, but even when he did leave the temple, this time with his hand firmly in the grasp of his distressed parents, when he did leave the temple, even then he was not far from the house of God. Because that temple of stone in Jerusalem merely symbolized the presence of God among his people. But because Jesus is one with the Father, wherever Jesus is, there is also the Father. In Jesus, the Father is dwelling with us. In other words, understand this, Jesus was never far from his Father's house because he is the Father's house. He is the temple. This is something more amazing than Joseph or Mary or any of those who were living in these moments could have ever understood, as the text says. They didn't understand what he was saying. That in the very person of Jesus Christ is the very presence of God the Father. Do you remember what Isaiah said about Christ, about the Messiah, in prophesying his coming? He said, "He will be called Everlasting Father." Did you ever wonder why Isaiah referred to the Son of God as the Father? Was he confused? No. It's because, as Jesus says in John 14, whoever has seen the Son has seen the Father. Or as John said in his first epistle, whoever confesses the Son also has the Father. He is where the Father is among us. He is the Father's house. And the business of the Father's house is to reunite fallen people like us and the Heavenly Father through the sacrifice once for all of Jesus Christ to atone for our sins and to heal our relationship with heaven. And that is still the business of the Father's house. Jesus is here, and we are about his business. Or better yet, I should say, he is about his business. Here it is Christ who does the baptizing. Here it is Christ who speaks, albeit through the words of a pastor. It is Christ who hosts the meal and this gathering, and who serves the meal of His very body and blood when we kneel at His altar. And that makes this place and this gathering truly the Father's house. And not just as a slogan, here we are gathered in the Father's house. No, but in reality and in power. For the business of the Father's house is conducted when we travel here to this place, and are about the Father's business. The business that Jesus accomplished for you on the cross. And now the fruits of which the Father dispenses to all of you here in this place. The forgiveness of your sins, reconciliation with God by the sacrifice of His Son, and a new lease on life as you are now set free from the bondage of your sins and from the fear of death to serve the living God, and salvation and all the fruits that go with it, the peace and the joy of which angels sang, and the unconquerable hope. And to think that for all of our long miles to Pennsylvania, what we got was a hard bed, food that satisfied for only a few hours, and some that didn't satisfy at all. That's a little family humor. And an all too brief visit with loved ones from whom we soon had to say goodbye and depart again. When all that time, just a minute away from home, was this place, and all of you gathered in sacred assembly, sharing things that are eternal, things that cannot be taken away from you, all right here in the Father's house, so close to home, where we don't have to travel far at all. No wonder David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. It's the only place to go for your Christmas travels and for all of your Sunday morning travels, here where our Jesus is still about His Father's business. Just for you. In the precious name of Christ, Merry Christmas and Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.